of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Jumbo Junior Airlines. You'll be dancing about everything when you see our elephants fly.
Welcome to this podcast. Welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. So why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Are you ready for a fight, Steve?
Oh, no, no.
Why? Fight, 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 fight. Little did you know, there's an ongoing war in Florida.
Oh, no, there is.
You knew that?
Of course, it's Florida.
It's Florida. They fight each other. Hatfields and McCoys.
Right? Florida versus Florida.
Actually, Hatfields and McCoys, is that like another southern state? I just always
equated
it with, is it Mississippi?
No, I think it's like Kentucky and something else.
Gosh.
Or Tennessee and Kentucky. I think that's what it is.
I'm showing my ignorance. I have no idea. But either way, that's not the battle we're talking about.
Mm-mm.
We're talking Harry Potter versus Mickey Mouse.
That does sound like the Hatfield and the McCoys.
I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise, but Universal and Disney are almost constantly trying to one-up each other. They're trying to get as many of those dollars as they can from the tourists. And in doing so, I think we as the public really benefit.
Sure.
Because they have to keep on upping their game to keep our attention, basically.
And by game, you mean ticket pricing?
That too. Yeah, that's constantly going up. But they have to keep adding attractions and new areas or updating old things or taking out old things so you can put new things in. They have to keep the hype train going.
Loving all the time. Epcot.
Epcot.
Just kidding.
They've got a lot coming.
That's true.
And that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because usually what happens is that one or the other announces something, and then the other one has to clap back with something else. To be like, oh, yeah, well, I heard you're doing this. Well, we're doing this. Come to our park instead, you know.
Okay.
So it goes like that pretty often. Anytime you hear Universal announce such and such today, you can pretty much guarantee within 24 hours, Disney's going to announce something.
Oh, okay.
It's just how they do, apparently.
That's, yeah.
And I don't know how they decide to hold off on something or not, but either way, fans that go to the parks pretty often have been noticing that Universal is in the process of changing things over in their Harry Potter area.
Right.
You're not a big fan of the Harry Potters.
Well, I mean, I would be-ish or something. They look fine.
You don't lie.
I mean, they
you ain't never seen one of their movies.
That is true.
You have no idea who the characters are.
There's Harry. And Potter.
Jeez.
And,
that pot. That Harry pot that bounces around.
There's a redheaded kid and a girl.
Oh, goodness. Yes. All of these things are true.
They all have wands.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Harry Potter is really the moneymaker for Universal. People are cuckoo ka-choo for Harry Potter.
I can see that. That's fair.
And it's not just a kid's thing either. Adults love Harry Potter, and they will spend lots of money.
Well, when did the first Harry Potter movie come out? What, wasn't it 20 years ago or something?
It was while I was still in high school, or just after I got out of high school. So,
like 3 or 6.
Oh, 2003?
3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months. Did you say 3 or 4 months ago? Yes, I am just 18. So, it's amazing how much money people are willing to spend on their nerdery, right?
Uh-huh.
And Harry Potter is one of those things that the nerds will plop down their money for. And Universal 100% knew what they were doing when they agreed to whatever terms J.K. Rowling had to put them into their parks.
Okay.
Because they knew it would be a massive draw.
Yeah.
So
I was just going to ask that. What would have happened if they not had put that in, if they had not put Potter World into their parks?
In all honesty, Universal used to be a secondary thought park where people would say, we're going to Orlando, we're going to hit all these parks. Oh, maybe we'll swing by Universal while we're there if we have time. But with the addition of Harry Potter, it became a destination park that people were going there specifically for the Harry Potter experience. So it really actually carved a chunk out of Disney for the first time where Universal was actually drawing in people specifically to go to their park.
Yeah, we've talked to a few people that have said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they say, oh, I'd much rather go there instead. And I'll go to that one. Because of that one, you know, because of Potter World, I'll then go to the others. But we got to do, that's like, we have to do that first.
And I've been to the beginning section of Harry Potter, and it is very fun. I haven't been since they expanded to the secondary area. I haven't done any of that.
Okay.
But it is a really fun area. For people that are Harry Potter fans, there's a lot of fan service. It's super heavily themed. I have to say, though, what kind of crazy person decided that the Harry Potter areas should be themed around winter?
J.K. Rowling.
Those poor kids are in cloaks and hats. Like, they must be dropping like flies.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because in the Florida heat.
In the Florida heat and humidity.
All year round.
Dressed in furs and, you know, long cloaks and hats and boots.
Who
are you trying to kill?
Like, legit.
What? I know that you're from Europe where maybe it stays a bit cloudier. You know, London's pretty famously gloomy a lot. Yeah. But Florida is not. And so you know, they have the fake snow everywhere and these poor kids in their cloaks and boots. I just think it's a terrible
idea. It's 84 degrees on New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's terrible. Terrible idea. But anyway, it wouldn't bother me. I'm always cold. So I'm like, where's my fur coat here in July in Florida?
They just hire skinny people.
Right. They just hire people like me who want hot chocolate in July. You know?
That's perfect.
Yeah. So anyway, they've been working on something new that they hadn't really announced yet. People knew that they were working on something in that Harry Potter area.
Oh yeah, we've been watching this.
Yeah. They have walls up, they're building something, there's lots of speculation.
And the old coaster came out, right? The red and blue one or something?
The Dueling Dragon Challenge coaster came out.
Okay.
Which they had rethemed to Harry Potter, but apparently they wanted something new that was Harry Potter specific.
Okay. Because that was a holdover ride from something else.
It was. That was part of the medieval area that used to be back there.
Okay.
So people have been noticing that they've been doing some new things, and just last week they finally announced what they were doing back there.
Is it great?
Sure. Like, So I had to write down the name because they gave it the most obnoxiously long, ridiculous name ever. I don't even know how you're going to... you couldn't put it on a shirt because it would have to wrap around to the back. So it's called Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure.
Wow.
That is a long name.
Would you like to interpret that for me so I know what we're doing?
Sure.
The motorbike... Okay.
Hagrid is a character from Harry Potter who takes care of magical creatures at the magic school that they go to.
Mm-hmm.
He's in love with all things living. He enjoys all animals, even if they're potentially dangerous or harmful. He enjoys them. So Hagrid is this person. Magical creatures, pretty self-explanatory. You'll probably run into some dragons or spiders or something. Motorbike adventure. Hagrid... inherited a flying motorcycle from Harry's godfather Sirius Black, and he flies it around fairly often. So I think the concept is that you are going to be riding along with Hagrid in his flying motorcycle throughout the Hogwarts grounds, probably looking at animals and whatnot. But it's a coaster ride, it's a fast coaster ride.
Of course, because it's Universal.
Because it's Universal.
And everything's a fast coaster ride.
Everything's to the extreme. So this ridiculously long name coaster is you know, finally announced, and people lose their mind because it's Harry Potter. Everyone loves Harry Potter, you know, and everyone wants more Harry Potter. That's why these Fantastic Beasts movies are so popular, is because everyone just wants more Harry Potter, right?
They are popular?
Well, they still make money. We'll say that.
That's true. Even as bad as they are, we still pay for them.
Right. And Disney lately has been announcing a whole lot of everything. Like, they've been talking about the renovations they're doing, things they're shutting down to renovate, things that are going to be updated, things that are coming in new. Like, they've been talking about this for a while now.
Right.
They're coming up, like I said, I wish I knew what year anniversary we're coming up on for Disney World.
I think it's the 50th.
Okay, we'll say 50th. So with everyone knows that they want to kind of give everything a facelift for their anniversary and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when Universal announced Hagrid's Ridiculously Long Motorbike Animal Creatures Adventure through your backyard, and tell your mom and your friends and your sister, and don't forget to bring your extra money for Wand's ride, they were like, well, I wonder what Disney could announce, because they've been talking about things already.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we know Ratatouille's coming in Epcot, and they're getting a new Guardians of the Galaxy coaster. They're overhauling Spaceship Earth. You know, they've been talking about things for a minute. So Disney, within 24 hours, comes out with a new announcement of what's going into the old Wonders of Life Pavilion.
Oh, right.
This used to have attractions that I've never been to. Things like Body Wars and things like that were in here.
Okay.
And from what I understand, up till this point, they've just kind of used it as an overflow building or an event space.
And where's it at?
It's actually right next to where they're putting in the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster.
Oh, okay.
And it's never open, so I think you and I probably walked by it without ever even noticing it was there.
We don't make it into that back corner very often at all.
Well, that's mostly because Test Track usually has such a long wait that we'd have no reason to walk back that direction.
Yeah.
So it is kind of back in that area. Wonders of Life Pavilion. And they've decided to announce that they are putting in a highly interactive cityscape type experience into that building. What does that mean exactly? Good question. Disney's very good at describing things without actually giving any real details.
Ridiculously so.
Yeah. So they released some concept art where the building looks like you're in kind of a futuristic, almost holographic type city, with lots of billboards of Disney IPs.
Okay.
It almost feels like the internet world that Ralph and Penelope were in.
Mixed with the Art of Animation building over at California Adventure, where they have all those screens around.
Oh, potentially, yeah. So it could probably do something like that. And they say that it will have, like, obviously character events. It'll be interactive.
Oh, no.
I know. I don't want characters. Keep them out of my face.
Well, it just sounds a lot like the World of Progress building at California that's been, you know, well, I thought was abandoned for all these years.
Oh, the spinning building from Disneyland?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It just feels like kind of a that, where they just kind of throw things in there. But
it's this. I hope that this project that they're doing is
better,
a bit more planned out and a bit more permanent, because then they can do some really fun things, I would hope.
But with that said, I am shocked to see how hard they worked to put that launch pad bay thing in Disney World and in, you know, Magic at Hollywood Studios. Like, they had to work really hard. They had to close down good stuff to put in that Star Wars interactive building. And at Disneyland, they just lucked out that there was an empty building that they were able to utilize so quickly.
Right.
So in my mind, it's just like a filler space. But for other people, they're like, no, this is actually a really good thing. You don't even realize. You're like,
true.
And okay, that's fair.
This specific thing that they're putting in, I don't think we are their target audience. We are, you know, especially since I don't like characters.
Yeah. They already got us. They're okay.
Yeah, we're spending money already. They don't need to entertain us anymore. So I guess the concept is it's more of like a children's area where potentially your kids could run off a bit of steam. Maybe it's one of those type things.
All indoors.
Hmm. Or maybe it is kind of like a family event center type thing where you can walk around to different shops or different buildings that house different characters. Or I'm not 100% sure. I don't think anyone's 100% sure.
And how does that fit into the Epcot theme?
It's a futuristic city.
I see.
I don't know.
That's
I think really what it is, with the coaster going in, I think they wanted a place for families to go, maybe while older kids or parents go on a ride, to maybe have a place that the kids are nearby that they can go to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know.
Like kind of give a little bit of yin and yang to that section. Because I think what people have been saying for a long time is that Epcot's really not a kid-friendly park.
Oh, that's true.
There are definitely things for kids to do, but it's definitely geared a bit more towards adults.
For sure.
The pavilion section, especially outside of Frozen, is really more adult-heavy.
Yeah.
You know, no kid wants to go and learn about Morocco. They don't care about eating authentic French food. They want to go on rides and see characters, you know. So I think this maybe was a nudge maybe in that direction to be a bit more family friendly at Epcot.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. Have they given any more details about the Guardian of the Galaxy coaster? Because I kind of thought that would be the announcement they made on that day to compete with Universal.
I mean, they've already put out quite a bit of information about the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster.
Okay.
They've put out... they've shown what the cars are going to look like.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a basic coaster car, but yeah, it's a, you know, I personally assume it's probably going to be a lot like the Aerosmith coaster. Kind of a Space Mountain-esque type deal.
I like all of this.
You're in for all that?
Oh, absolutely.
Is Epcot becoming your favorite park?
No.
Oh. Well, that was a definitive no.
No, that they got a long ways to go.
Oh.
I think California Adventure is still my favorite park, I guess.
Oh, sure. I just meant in Florida.
Yeah.
Because we spend a lot of time in Epcot, oddly enough. Even though it's not my favorite park, we spend a lot of time there.
It's just because it's so easy.
It's also a little bit less crowded than the other parks.
I would say Hollywood Studios is my favorite park, though.
Mm.
We decided that already.
Yeah.
And I would. The more I think about it, yeah, I'm sticking with that.
you're team Hollywood Studios.
Sure.
I'm Team Animal Kingdom, personally. It's my favorite park.
Wow. Even poor Magic Kingdom. Ain't nobody loved that.
Okay. Not to get off track, but can we just say that Magic Kingdom is hopelessly busy
and... Oh my gosh.
Just a bit... It's a bit much. It's a bit much sometimes. I think it's fun to go to, but... We actually discussed it not being an every time park for us when we go down there.
Yep.
Which is crazy to think.
Am I allowed to say the offensive discovery I had about it?
Oh, let's get offensive. Let's talk offensive things.
Where I said it's basically the India of...
that's totally offensive. You can't say that.
Sorry. It's just chaotic and noisy and loud and busy and sticky and...
It's very much... the downtown of like the big city of Disney World,
right,
where everybody wants to be all the time, and because there are so many people, it's hard to keep things organized, it's hard to keep things clean, it's hard to serve everybody in a timely manner, it's hard to get on rides,
and people are so mean
and people are grumpy
and they're chaotic and they're running over you with strollers all the time.
Yeah. It is a wild park. And not on purpose. I think it's just wild because everybody wants to be there, you know?
And I'm not even sure what there is to do in that park.
Oh, now we're getting shady.
No, I know there is a lot, but it just feels like at Disneyland, it feels to me like there's more to do at Disneyland than Magic Kingdom.
I feel like you can get more done at Disneyland than Magic Kingdom, personally. Disneyland is much more compact. And so you can move through that park.
Probably is it.
You can move through that park quick, and there's something to do every 30 steps with the trash can. There's something to do every 30 steps.
You
know.
There you go.
So, you know, Magic Kingdom is fine. It has some essential rides that you need to go on.
Is Disney Springs allowed to be my favorite park?
Do you like Disney Springs?
It was so cool. It was super fun. I can see why people go there often.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super fun over there.
Yeah.
Except for we don't eat or shop.
But yeah, we're terrible.
We're like, people ask us, what do you do?
Yeah. Don't eat, don't shop. What do you do?
Don't do characters.
But it makes me wonder, you know, if we didn't have Universal nipping at Disney's heels all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Would Disney feel the need to advance as quickly no. as they are? You don't yep. think so?
Nope. I mean, they like to think that they're innovative, and they, but competition, there's nothing like competition to keep somebody in first place.
It's very true. I mean, it's like we've said before, if you can get people to pay for what you're putting out, keep putting it out. But if you're losing people, you better find something else to bring them in.
Yeah.
Right? So I definitely feel like Universal being able to cut into some Disney profits.
Uh-huh.
You know, not it didn't scare Disney. Disney doesn't scare easily, you know, but they definitely thought, oh, okay, well, we can't just rest on our laurels now. We've got to kind of move forward.
Right.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Before Universal somehow passes us up.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's even a point of pride for Disney that they're like, I'm not letting Universal get past us.
Yeah. You know? I hope that's true.
You think so?
Sure. But how can you compete with Disney World now? Mm. Like, they were so uniquely positioned with having the ability to buy that much property prior to.
Right.
Like, that's a pretty hard thing to accomplish if you were to try to do it again.
Yeah. It wouldn't work now.
I don't know. There's a lot of empty land between here and Florida that we drive through.
Hey, if you want to build Disneyland Wyoming, there is nothing but space up there.
Space and angry wind. Is that what you said?
Half of Wyoming's population is just angry gusts of wind. No, but one day we'll talk about my idea for Disney Lone Star that I think would be amazing. But anyway, it's like I always say, don't forget to buy your tickets to Hagrid's fly around on his motorcycle, looking at animals, going upside down sometimes, looking at more animals, waving your wand adventure bike ride.
No, seriously, what is it called?
It's called Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure. Mm. Fit that on a sign. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast. Yeah.